Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bring the sacrifices of praise into the house of the Lord this morning. We give you the glory and the praise for all that you have done, that you continue to do, and that which we are yet to receive, which you've already done. We glorify your name, Lord. And as we gather together in the word of the Lord this morning, speak, O Lord, for we, your children, are listening. Let your name be glorified in the message of the Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can do better than that. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap in the house. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to speak this morning on bearing your cross. Amen. That's right. So it's part two of the message that I preached during our last Friday consecration about a week and a half or so ago. That message we preached was titled Living for Jesus. And I invite you to go, if you were not there, go to the website and listen to the message. It will bless your heart. And for those who were there, this will be a good continuation for you this morning. But for the benefit of those that were not there, because this kind of messages, consecration messages, they're very, very important, because that's what our life is all about. Amen? Amen. Consecration is not just once a month. Consecration is every day. That's what we should be doing. So today, bearing your cross. And I want to start here in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16 is where I will start. And I will start reading at verse 24. So turn your Bibles to Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 24. Here's what Jesus said. Then Jesus said unto them, his disciples, if any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Amen. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here or sitting here, we shall not taste of death, amen, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Hallelujah. I love that part. Amen. Well, let me go through in this text. There are so many things. And I want to pray everybody to please listen very carefully to this message, because this is a very important message. We want you to listen very carefully. Now, let me start at the top of this message and say that the first thing that Jesus said here in this text is that if any man will come after me. So, this message is for those that want to follow the Lord. Amen? Amen. This is not, if you don't care anything about following the Lord and so forth like that, which is not anybody sitting here. You want to follow the Lord, that's why you're in the church, and so forth like that. But for people who don't care anything about following the Lord, this is not for them, But this is for believers. This is for people that are, desiring and striving to be like Christ, to try to follow Christ. And so follow actually means, following his footsteps and so on, So here's what he said. The first thing he said, look, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So we're going to look at denying yourself. Then let him take up his cross and follow me. So what does it mean to deny yourself? Well, no man can serve the Lord until they are ready to deny themselves. It's just not possible. If you cannot, deny yourself means you empty yourself out. You only do what God wants for his own glory. Even at your own hurt, even for your own inconvenience. You know, so I'm going to be speaking about that a little bit this morning. I spoke about that last Friday. We were talking about, you know, and, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of Christian folks, they don't want to lose. I mean, they don't want to leave their comfort zone. They don't want to do anything that's inconvenient, you know. But Jesus, the first thing he said, look, you've got to deny yourself of your own leisure, of your own right to be comfortable. You got to step out of your comfort zone. Sometimes you have to do things that are, you know, not so very comfortable for the glory of God. You know, you may have to do some things, you know, and so forth like that. So I'm going to be talking about that a little bit. I also want to point out, for the benefit of those that missed the other message that I was referring to, that when we talk about persecution or suffering for Christ, rather, actually, when we talk about suffering for Christ, people generally think about persecution and so forth, which is great. You know, I mean, if we are persecuted for the name of Christ, the Bible says there is tremendous reward for that, you know. But there's a kind of suffering for Christ as well that is not necessarily because anybody is persecuting you. You know, it is called bearing the afflictions of Christ. You know, in other words, when you are doing things that the Lord wants you to do, even though it hurts you, even though it's not comfortable for your body or for your flesh or whatever, you know, that's suffering affliction for the name of Christ. Now, I will be talking about how that comes in with bearing your cross this morning. You know, now, so this may be a different kind of message that you're used to hearing, you know, and so forth, you know, especially when I'm up here on the stage. You know, maybe I preach on faith and power and deliverance and so forth like that. But this kind of message is what we need to hear. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. Because unless you are not interested in following the Lord, you know, then you wouldn't want to know anything about how God prescribes that you should follow him. Now, this is the Lord's own prescription of how to follow him. First, deny yourself. Don't be self-centered. God, you know, your life needs to be Christ-centered. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your life needs to be about Christ, not about yourself. You know, so self needs to get out of the picture when you want to follow the Lord. The next thing that we want you to know is that he also said that after you denied yourself, you must also take up your cross. Now, let me read that to you again. And I want you to pay attention to this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and then follow me. Now, I want to talk about taking up his cross because a lot of people think that this, the Lord is talking about taking up the cross. He didn't say take up the cross. You know, and Jesus is not inviting us to take up his own cross. Are you still with me, folks? Jesus is not inviting you to take up the cross of Christ. That's not what this subject is all about. That's not what this verse is talking about. You are not called to take up the cross of Christ. You cannot do it. He did it and it's done. Amen. But he wants you to take up your own cross. You cannot take up my cross either. You cannot take up somebody else's cross. And there's no common cross for the believers in this case. You know, well, maybe people are thinking about some common cross. We suffer for Christ and so on. But I tell you what, every life is different. And I'm going to be talking specifically to some situations here this morning where you may not have understood that that is the cross that God wants you to bear. You cannot bear somebody else's cross. You know, this is the problem with people. I was looking about what somebody else is doing or what somebody else is not doing. One time, Jesus, he began to talk to Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me more than this? And then he asked him a few times and so forth. He said, feed my sheep, and begin to do all these things. And so Peter, he just got upset that the Lord would ask him so many times. And the Lord didn't say anything about John and so forth like that. So, you know, asking about Peter. So Peter asked the Lord about John. He said, what about John? What's he going to do if you want me to do all of these things? And the Lord said to him, look, never mind about John. Amen? Amen? Amen. Don't worry about what John is doing or not doing. You do what I want you to do. You take up your own cross. Leave John alone. Yes. Don't worry about John. This is the problem with people. You know, it's only... In this Christian race, it's only about you and the Lord. It's not about anybody else. It's only you. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So taking up his cross, I want to quickly underscore that it is not the cross of Christ. You know, you can't carry Christ's cross. He already did that. He's finished. He's done. You know, you cannot carry somebody else's cross. You know, you've got to carry your own cross. You know, and if you don't want to carry your own cross, you're always looking at somebody else, you're thinking that somebody else's situation is better than yours. Well, you need to worry about carrying your own cross. You know, that's what Christianity is all about. Don't worry about somebody else, but carry your own cross. Amen. And if you want to save your life, if you have not yet denied yourself, that means your life is more important to you than serving the Lord, then you can't really be God's, Christ's disciple. You know, if you will save your life, Jesus said, you will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, not necessarily, you know, that they physically die, that's there too. You know, and that gives the greatest reward. And I talked about that, you know, in that message of living for Jesus. Dying physically for Christ, if you have to give your faith, you know, that's one of the most tremendous rewards that anybody can ever get. You know, but whether you live or die, we live or die unto God. Amen. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, if you're alive, you live unto God. Now, Jesus, he died for us, but he wants us to live for him. So this one that he's talking about, losing his life, you know, for my sake and so forth, you know, it's not necessarily mean that you are killed for the Lord, you know, and so forth, but we die daily. Amen? Amen. That's right. You must die to the flesh. You must give up the flesh and the things of the flesh. Now, listen to this story. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 24. And those of you who are in the Friday consecration service, you probably heard this part. But let me read it here for everybody. By faith, Moses, this is Hebrews 11, 24. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, so here is Moses. He had opportunity to be the heir to the throne of Egypt. You know, but he saw that, look, he gave up all of that. He chose rather to be counted with the people of God. When he came to years, he understood that he actually belonged to the Hebrews, you know, and it was more convenient for him to stay in the palace, to stay in the Egyptian palace and so forth, and be counted as heir towards the throne and so forth. That was more convenient, but he gave that up, and he chose rather to suffer affliction for the name of the Lord, you know, in joining himself to the people of the Lord. Now, that is some kind of suffering, which is not necessarily persecution. It wasn't because somebody was persecuting him. It was a choice that he made. He made the choice to go even, you know, to what he thought God was calling him to, even though it was hard for him. It was a lot easier for him to stay in the palace and be a prince than to be one of the slaves. Amen? But he chose rather to be counted as one of the slaves because that's what God called him to do. Now, I mean, I want those of you who are sitting here today, think about it in your life. You know, how do you bear your cross on a daily basis? Well, God is calling you to do something, you know, and if you're not ready to give up yourself, you're not ready to give up a little sleep, it's a lot easier for you to sleep, you know, throughout the day, rather than get up and pray. It's a lot easier for you to sleep in on Sunday morning, rather than get up and come to church, you know, but you can choose. You can choose to endure hardness for the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. The Bible says to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, so it's not, this Christian life is not easy. You know, but some people choose the easy way out. You know, when it is time for fasting, it is easier for your body to say, I don't want to fast. Why should they tell us to fast all the time? You know, and so forth. You know, and so that it's easier for you not to fast. It's easier for you not to pray. But if you choose to suffer affliction for Christ, afflict your body, afflict your soul, hallelujah. Amen. And think about the recompense of the reward, Great will be your reward in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, so bearing your cross, you know, I mean, look, Jesus in Christ, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, you know, verse 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus himself had to endure his own cross. He kept his eyes on the prize. You know, he was looking for the joy that was set before him, just like Moses. He thought of the recompense of the reward. And he said, look, the suffering of this present time is not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And he was ready to say, look, I'm going to suffer a little bit. You know, now, maybe you are asked to do something in the church. It may be inconvenient for you. Well, it is not necessarily persecution, but it could be a type of suffering. If you are willing to take that affliction, get up early, come and clean the church, do something, stay up late, stay back late, rise up early, teach Sunday school, come here early for prayer meeting, and so forth like that. You know, all of these things may not be easy on the flesh. Be easier for me to just sit down at home, watch television, or go to the movies than to do these things. But I tell you what, there is great reward if you deny yourself. Hallelujah. And there is great reward if you bear your cross. Now let me tell you something also about bearing the cross. You know, you may be married to a mean husband. You may be married to a disrespectful wife. You know, and so forth like that. Disrespectful wife. You know, and so forth. You know, but if you are a believer, you know, what do you do? Do you, because your husband is mean, do you now disrespect your husband? You know, well, if you do that, then you are not bearing your cross. Now, if your wife doesn't respect you, and because of that, you don't love them like your own self, you don't love them like, you know, the church, I mean, that Christ loved the church, then you are not bearing your cross. Because you are taking the easy way out. The easy way out is for you to be bitter against your wife. The easy way out is for you to be disrespectful to your husband. The easier way for you children is to not obey your parents. Because when they tell you to do some things, that's hard for you to do. When the Bible says, honor your father and mother. You say, well, I'm too old to do that. God never gave any age to that. Amen? Amen, folks? Didn't say honor your father and mother until you are 60 years old. Never said that. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know, now that's going to be hard for you to do. But if you choose to do it, it may be tough on you sometimes and so forth like that. But that's tremendous reward. Because you are bearing the cross. You know, now, so let me explain it to you this way. Bearing the cross, bearing your cross, is simply doing all it takes to do what God wants of you. Whether it is easy or hard, it doesn't matter. As long as it is for his glory. Amen. It is the glory of God that matters in everything. Christ is the one that must get the glory. You know, and until our life is in a place where we are doing things only for the glory of Christ, then we are not really ready to be his disciple. You know, so if we do things for vainglory, even preaching the gospel, some people preach for vainglory and so forth like that, you know, well, you know, I'm going to talk about reward also in a minute, because this text that we started with, the Bible says, Jesus, he talked about all these things, and he said, for the Son of Man is coming to give his reward. So this denying yourself, this taking up your cross, this following of Christ, you know, and all of these things leads to some reward. And I'm going to be talking about the reward in a minute. You know, now everything we do, now let me tell you something, folks, listen to me very well today. Now, I've wondered about this, and I prayed about it, and, you know, look, every one of you that's listening to me this morning, and every one of you that come to this church, see, I'm not responsible for the whole world, you know, that's God's business. He's the good shepherd, amen? But this place right here, you know, the Bible says we watch over your souls, you know, so, we got a responsibility to bring the word of God. You know, we got a response because, look, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we shall give account of ourselves. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let me read verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether I be good or bad. And Jesus, you know, I mean, there's so many places in the Bible, you know, that talk about this. You know, that look, when the Lord comes, he's going to bring his reward. Now, while we are here, now, of course, I don't want to belittle the fact that suffering for Christ is also, you know, persecution is also part of bearing our cross. But that's not the only part of bearing our cross. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, we are told that, you know, it is given unto you. That's Philippians 1, 29. That not only should you, on the behalf of Christ, not only should you believe on his name, but that also you should suffer for him. So let's read that. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. Turn with me, if you would please, to that, you know, and see it for yourself. You know what it says. Philippians 1 and 29. It says, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, so suffering for his sake, bearing your cross. You know, now, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says that all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we know that. You know, and Jesus himself said, look, when men revile you, when men persecute you, now you young people, you know, if you were to stand up for Christ and so forth, you may lose some of your friends. They may speak evil against you and so forth like that, even on your jobs and so forth. If you stood up, you know, against corruption and so forth on your job, and you may lose promotion, you may lose all of these things. That's a form of suffering for Christ. That's a form of being persecuted for your faith. And the Bible already said that everybody that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer that kind of persecution. You know, so we know that. Now, but also, I'm bringing this part here that, look, there are some things that God has called you to do that is not because somebody is persecuting you, but it is something that is a hard thing for you to do naturally. But Christ is saying, unless you are able to come to the point where you can deny yourself, where you can don't look about your personal comfort, where you can get out of your comfort zone and do what God is calling you to do, he said, unless you're able to do that on a daily basis, you're not ready to be my disciple. The Bible says in the book of Amos, chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Yeah. Now that means, look, you're just in your comfort zone. You know, some people don't care anything about souls that are perishing. You know, you don't care anything about it. You know, all you want to do is just sit down and with your family, enjoy and do all of these things and so forth like that. You know, well, that's good. But I tell you something, folks. There is a life coming after, and there's reward coming after. And Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Turn with me. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Jesus said, look, I am coming quickly. And I am bringing my reward with me. To give unto every man according as his work shall be. Now, you will be rewarded for your obedience to the word of God. When the Bible says, obey your parents. Parents, do not provoke your children. When the Bible says, you know, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. They say in America, no, you can't do that. You know, you got to do this and so forth, boss your husband around. Well, if you choose to go the way of the world, rather than going the way of the Lord, you will lose your reward. And when the Bible says, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Why does the Bible say that? Because there's a tendency for men to be bitter against their wives. You know, and so forth. That's why I say that. You know, so, but if you do not obey that voice of the Lord, you choose the easy way. You choose to not forgive people who hurt you and so forth, because that's easier on the flesh rather than taking the affliction of the word of God. Look, the word of God will afflict you. That's why it's called a double-edged sword. It'll cut you, but it'll also heal you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, but you know, if you're looking for the sweet word of God all the time, that's why the Bible says in the last day, they will heap to themselves teachers because they have itching ears. They want to hear good things and so forth. Hey, we preach happy, joyful messages here all the time. If you've been in any of these services for any length of time, you know we do that. But sometimes we have to preach some messages that cut to your conscience as well. Amen. Praise God. Because that's how we are going to get you to heaven by the grace of God. Amen. That's right. You know, because what good shall it profit you if we preach prosperity to you and you gain the whole world and you do all this thing, but you lose your own soul? What good is that? Tell me, when I stand before God, say, all those people you preach to every day at GMI Church, they all prosper, they all did these great things, and so forth. And if none of them is there, then I will lose all my reward. So I want to make sure, amen. Folks, I want to make sure that you all hear the word of God. Paul said, I shun not to declare unto you the full counsel of God. And this is the counsel of God, folks. If you want to come after me, Jesus said, you must first deny yourself. You must empty yourself of yourself. You know, most of the time we don't deny. Why is it that people get into arguments? Let me tell you the reason why you get into arguments. Because you are still full of yourself. That's why we get into arguments. You know, you argue with your husband all the time and so forth. You know, you argue with your wife, you argue with your boss, you argue with this and that, because you are still thinking of yourself. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. It takes two to tango, you know. But if you say, you know, if you don't do anything, if you don't care about any of those things, let them do whatever they say. Hey, praise the Lord. You know, just praise the Lord and go on. You know, but that's hard. It is easier for you to get your own back. It's easier for you to seek revenge. Somebody does something to you, you must do your own. You know, somebody does something, you must do your own back. That one is easier than for you to follow the word of God. So following the word of God is hard on the flesh. But that's what's going to give you reward. Everlasting reward. Amen. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Because Jesus said in the same place, where the same text where we read, where he's talking about following and denying and so forth. Right after that, the next verse says, for the Son of God is coming with the angels of God to bring his reward. So there is reward directly tied to this business of denying yourself and following the Christ and taking your cross. Can't take somebody else's cross, folks. Now, whatever situation you find yourself in, if you do it joyfully as unto the Lord, that is taking up your cross. Amen. Now, some of you may have a mean boss. You know, at work and so forth. They cut up on you and all the time and so forth like that. They don't give you the credit you deserve. You know, the Bible says, be not as men pleasers or eye service. But whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. If you would serve in that position that you are in, never mind the crazy person and the bitter person and so forth, you do it as unto the Lord. That's hard for you to do. It is easier for you to lose your morale. You know, people say, well, you know, there's no morale in this place. There's none of these things and so forth. And everybody starts misbehaving because the company is misbehaving or their boss is misbehaving and so forth. That's easier for you to do rather than bear your cross. But if you will bear the cross that God has laid upon you, you know, you say, look, I tell you something, people don't understand this, but look, every situation, if you are truly a child of God and you are praying for a situation and it hasn't changed, then God wants you to bear that cross. Now, that may be a hard saying for you today, but Paul said, I besought the Lord 3 times concerning this thing, and the Lord did not remove it. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient unto you. Hallelujah. I want you to think about the grace of God in your life. The grace of God that, you know, bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for and hastening unto the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. You find that in the book of Titus, chapter 2. Reading from verses 13 and so forth. You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does the Bible talk about it over and over again? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keeps talking about it. Wow. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 is the verses I just read. God will give grace, you know, for you to be able to bear your cross. This is the prayer that you must pray. To be able to bear your cross. Don't try to get out of it. The Lord is not going to let you get out of bearing your own cross. Are you still with me, folks? That may seem rough, but the Lord is not going to. He said it himself. You must take up that cross, whatever it is, and you must follow me. Now, I'm not talking about affliction that is from the devil. You know, we are not ignorant of the vices of the devil. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so the devil can't put sickness and this kind of thing and so forth on you. You know, that's from the devil. You know, that's not the Lord. Because the Lord, he planted good seed, but the enemy came in and did evil in there and so forth because of disobedience. Disobedience of one man brought all this evil upon the world, you know, and so forth. So, you know, we must distinguish between the affliction of the devil. Because the Bible says the enemy shall not exact upon you. Amen? Amen. But we must understand affliction for the name of Christ. Because Moses, he chose to suffer the afflictions of Christ rather than the pleasures of sin for a minute. The pleasures of sin. Are you telling me that just because he was, you know, a heir to the throne, that means he's, you know, he's doing some sinful thing? Well, sure. You know, whatever it was, you know, that was not of faith, whatever it was that was not of, you know, what God called him to do, that was sin unto him. Now, let me tell you something, folks. If you are not bearing your cross, that is sin unto you. When God has called you to bear your cross, and you are not bearing it, you know. Now, you know, I've said some things here, you know, but you just look at your life. There are many areas where we must bear our cross. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. Now, let me go on and talk about reward. Because this part, I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 16, because that's where my text came from this morning. And I'm going to then jump forward and talk about reward. Matthew 16 verses 24 to 28 was my text. The first part of it is what I've talked about this morning. How to deny yourself, how to bear your cross, how to follow the Lord and so forth. You know, and if you cannot, if you are still self-centered and always thinking about yourself, you know, this is going to keep you from, you know, the kingdom of heaven. You know, and so forth. You know, so why do you think that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 and 22 that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but they that do the will of my Father? For on that day many shall come to me and say, Lord, didn't we do mighty works in your name? Didn't I speak in tongues and prophesy and cast out devils, you know, preach in the pulpit, sing in the praise team, do all of these things and so forth, you know, even heal the sick and do all these wonderful things? You know, they said to Jesus, you see, many will say to me on that day, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works in your name, and done all these great things? And say, and Jesus didn't say they didn't do all those things, you know, but he said, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, depart from me. You know, because, you know, there was an area in their life, you know, that they were not bearing that cross. You know, there was something that they wouldn't give up. The Bible says, give up that sin which so easily beset you. Couldn't give it up. One young man, one time, he came to Jesus. He said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know, said, why callest thou me good and so forth? And he straightened him out on that. Then he said, look, you know the law. You know, honor your father and mother. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness. Do not steal. Do not do this. Do not do that. And the young man said, look, I've done all these things from my youth and up. And the Lord looked at him and said, wow, that's good. The Lord, the Bible says the Lord looked at him, he loved him. And the Lord said to him, there's one more thing that you lack. See, there's always one more thing. There's always one area. You can keep all the whole law. The Bible says you keep the whole law, but you are guilty in one part, you are broken all. And this young man, his cross that he God wanted him to bear was to give up, you know, his dependence on his riches. But he wouldn't do it. And Jesus said to him, look, there's one more thing in your life. You know, you've done all those wonderful things. That's great. But there's one thing that is still keeping you from the kingdom. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and then come and follow me. And this young man, he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. You know, and I thought about this and I asked myself the same question that the disciples asked the Lord. They said, who then can be saved? You know, I asked myself the same thing. I said, Lord, you know, if we do all these things, we preach the gospel, we do, you know, cast out devils, do wonderful works in your name, and do all these great things, you know, only at the end to hear, depart from me. I mean, that's why the Bible said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I said, Lord, and the Lord said the same thing. He said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. Amen. God will give you the grace. You know, if you desire to follow the Lord, if you desire to bear his cross, I mean, bear your cross, you know, then God will give you the grace. Hallelujah. He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you to enable you to be able to carry your cross. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But you must pray for that grace. You must pray for that, you know, for desire to empty yourself and, you know, seek his glory rather than your own profit. What is it going to profit you? You know, the reason why the Bible says that is this. Look, let's put it in perspective. You know, most people, if they live very long these days, maybe they live 100 years. That's wonderful. You know, most people die long before 100 years anymore. You know, the life expectancy is just getting shorter and shorter and shorter. You know, so if you're going to live 100 years in this earth, and you're going to do all these things and so forth and run after these things and achieve all these great things, which is good, because the Bible says for a man to do good and enjoy, you know, the fruit of all his labor, that's the gift of God. Amen.
Amen.
And every good and perfect gift comes from God. So whatever God has given us richly to enjoy, we should enjoy. I'm not knocking, you know, prosperity or, you know, searching, you know, improvement in your life and so forth. We believe in all those things and so on. But if you do all of that at the expense of your soul, see, if you would rather stay at home, you know, study than come to church because you're pursuing your exam. If you would rather say, you know, I'm pursuing my some promotion at the job, and you rather go to the office rather than go to church when it is time to go to church. Well, those things may be easier, but it may be something, you know, it may be like we're following something else, you know. So we got to be very careful. Now, I know that there is a time and a place for everything. There's a time when, look, you are burdened with things, you know, and God knows our hearts and so forth, you know, and, you know, I'm not here pointing any fingers, but there may be time when you have to, you know, spend a little extra time studying, you know, to get over the hump. Maybe you're having difficulty. Then maybe, you know, you may spend some few extra hours at your job, and that's great and so forth like that. But look, you know, if we can do all that, then we need to be doing the same for spiritual things as well. Amen.
Amen.
You know, so if you take anything away from the Lord, make up for it. That's all I'm saying. You know, so, you know, you say, hey, look, I don't have time right now. Well, you know, make time. You know, if you don't have time for the Lord, then you haven't denied yourself. You know, God must be number one in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, even myself being a pastor and all that, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not exempted from this, you know, because the Lord, you know, the Bible says, look, be not many of you teachers, because the teacher will have the greater condemnation. Now, I don't want to be the least in the kingdom of God, because for somebody who teaches men something and he himself doesn't do it, it's going to be the least in the kingdom of God. You think I want to be the least in the kingdom of God? No. Every time I preach these messages, I preach them to myself first. Amen? God, I don't want to be the least in the kingdom of God. You know, and I know that, look, everything I do and so forth like that. You know, for me also, you know, being, you know, it's not easy. You think it's easy to, you know, get up in the night and, you know, study and prepare the word of God and stay up late and pray, you know, and so forth, and be called from here and there and so on, and get the word of God ready for the people. That's not easy. It's easier for me to sit down and watch movies, you know, and so forth like that, you know, and all that. So, but I got to choose to suffer affliction that I may get a greater reward. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Now, if that's you in here this morning, and you're still thinking in your heart, look, you know, I'm not doing, now, and I know I'm speaking to a lot of people here today, and you know in your heart, and God brought you here to be here, you know, you may not even have thought you would come to the service today, but you're here. And so you heard this message, see, so now you cannot say, oh, I didn't know. Well, even if you didn't know, that was not an excuse, because it's in the word of God. But now you know, so let me put it to you this way. Knowing now that you have heard the message, that you must deny yourself, that you must take up your cross, and that you must follow the Lord and be thinking not of yourself but of the recompense of the reward, knowing now that that has been laid in front of you, what will you do about it? What you need to do is ask for the grace of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. I'm going to have you pray for a minute, and I'm going to have you sit right back. You say, well, that's strange. Well, yeah, sure. I want you to pray. Lift up your hands and pray for a minute. and say, Lord, give me the grace. I want every one of you pray this sincerely. You know, if you pray that prayer, God will not deny it. The prayer for mercy, the prayer for grace, that's something God doesn't deny. So ask the Lord to give you this grace to carry your cross, to be able to deny yourself and to be able to follow the Lord faithfully. Father, Lord Jesus, grant it unto your people. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says,
amen.
Now sit down for a minute. I'm not done yet, you know. And I'm going to talk to you about the rewards. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 8. This is like the second part of this message here this morning. You know, so you're seeing all the things that God wants us to do, and God is speaking to you in your heart, you know. But the Lord never told anybody to serve him in vain. You know, there's reward for everything that we do, and so forth like that. You know, but God has already done tremendous for us. So listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting from verse 8. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. In this particular text, Paul was talking about, look, you know, I may have planted, Apollos may have watered, but it's God that gives the increase. Let's not worry about, you know, who did what and so forth. God is the one that gives the increase, and God is the one that should, you know, get, the glory. But everybody will get their own reward. The one that planted will get his reward for planting. The one that watereth will get his reward for watering. Whatever you do, you give a cup of water in the name of the Lord to a disciple, you get your reward. God is taking record of everything. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
You may be doing some things which you think that nobody acknowledges and nobody even cares. You know, God cares, and he has a record book. Amen.
Amen.
And the record books will be open. The Bible said the book of life were open and the books were also opened. So those books contain the rewards, you know, for all the things that, you know, you had opportunity to do or not do upon the face of the earth. So let me read to you here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. He said, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and we are God's building. According to the grace, now that's that grace again. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And anybody else can build on it, and let them, everybody take it how they build upon it. Now, if you build, the Bible says, you know, upon that foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ, it tells us in verse 11. If you build upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, or you build wood, hay, and stubble, well, he said, look, God's going to put fire to the works. And the wood, the hay, and the stubble, you know, those are works that will not last or stand the test of fire. Those will be burned. He said, for every man's work shall be made manifest. Verse 13. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If therefore any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, though he himself might be saved, yet as by fire. You know, some people will be saved by the skin of their teeth, you know, but they have no reward, you know, because, you know, their works did not stand the test of time, because they did not deny themselves. They did not truly, you know, carry their own cross. They were too busy about somebody else, you know, problem and so forth, you know. And, you know, he gives all these things and he talks about it and so forth. You know, so listen to this. He said, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, the foundation, you know, once we are saved, we are called to maintain. The Bible says, let them be careful to maintain good works. Now, we know according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that for by grace we are saved through faith. And that is the gift of God. It's not of works, it's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. So I want to let you know that we're not saying that works is going to save anybody. We cannot be saved by our works. Amen?
Amen.
The only work that's going to save you is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen.
You must believe in your heart that, you know, you must believe in your heart that he died and he rose again and that he was the Son of God, brought into this world to die for our sins. And you must confess the same with your mouth. For with the heart, man believes, you know, unto salvation and so forth, but with the, you know, unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's what the Bible says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. You know, so, but the works are for the reward. Now, carrying your cross is a work. It's a lot of work, if you look at it that way, you know, because it's not easy to carry the cross. You might have just ignore the cross. Ignoring the cross is easier. So carrying the cross is a lot of work. Amen? Amen. And I want to tell you something too. Students and everybody that's in here, you all understand this. You know, when we work, you know, when we work hard, there's reward. You know, when it is time for you to be a student, if you are goofing off and doing all these things and you're not, you know, paying attention to your classes, you know, paying attention to your grades, then you're going to have a bad report at the end. You know, and you won't have the reward like you should. But, you know, good work and, you know, diligence and so forth. In fact, the Bible says, seest thou a man that's diligent in his ways, he will stand before kings and not before mean men. If you are diligent in your ways, you know, God is going to reward you. Praise you in the name of the Lord. You know, and I want to say also to us, you know, for those of us who are working and working adults, many of us are sitting here today, we all understand the reward system, you know, because, you know, there's always a reward for your job. You work 2 weeks and you collect a paycheck, you know, and some people are paid weekly. You know, you work a week, you collect a paycheck. You work so many weeks, you collect a paycheck and so forth like that. So there's a reward for that, you know, and sometimes even, you know, I know that, you know, there were some years when I was doing consulting, I used to travel. I hated the job sometimes because there was a lot of snow and suffering and everything that I went through. And I had to leave my family and travel all over the country and so forth. And sometimes it was very hard. But, you know, I endured all of that because at the end of the pay, you know, maybe I collect a fat check and I'll be smiling to the bank. Amen. So that's a reward system that we all understand. Everybody understands that, you know. And that's why people, there's a lot of people that are sitting in here that are working. They don't like the job that they are doing, but they got to pay their bills. And so we all understand that. So we work, we collect the check, and so forth like that, and all that, you know. But when it comes to the things of God, because there doesn't seem to be an immediate reward system, people don't recognize, you know, that there is really reward. You know, there's an immediate reward system for your job. After 2 weeks or whatever X number of days you agree on your contract, they must pay you. You know, so that's easy. You know, so you have to bestir yourself in the morning, even when you are tired. You have to get up and do all these things and go to work and so forth and collect that paycheck at the end. Well, you know, because there is a paycheck, you know, because you have recompense of the reward, because you're thinking of the recompense of the reward. You have respect unto that recompense of that paycheck that's coming. That's why you do all that. That's why you drive long distances to your job, get up early in the morning and so forth to be there at 6 a.m. or whatever. Some of you work nights, do all these things and so forth, collect a paycheck. Now, if you do all these things for something that will perish, how much more the kingdom of God? Amen? Amen. You know, but because there is no, seemingly, there's not an immediate reward system with God. You know, so people don't worry too much. They don't strive. They don't labor. The Bible says, labor that you may enter into the rest. You know, you have to labor. You know, that's kind of like what people call an oxymoron. You know, how can you labor to enter into rest? Well, you got to work hard first in order for you to get the reward. Amen? But if you are not willing to do that because there is no seemingly immediate reward, then it becomes hard, you know, for you to get a reward. You know, some people will say, you know, that, well, I don't feel led by God to come to church. You know, I don't feel led to come to this and that and so on. Well, as many as are led by the sons of God, they are, you know, at the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So people oftentimes hide behind that and all that, you know, and that's wonderful. You know, we need to be led by God. Amen. Amen. But most people that say that do not wait to be led by God in the morning to go to their jobs. Amen. They just get up in the morning. You know, no matter how tired they were the night before, they get up. They don't wait around to be led by God. They get up in the morning and so forth. And they must go to work because they are going to collect a paycheck. And they need to pay their bills. Folks, there is eternal reward in carrying your cross for Christ. Are you still with me? Amen. You know, so I want you to visualize just like you are paying the price. You are paying the affliction on your body right now to collect a paycheck after 2 weeks. You know, you need to pay the price to collect a heavenly paycheck. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. And Jesus, he laid it right here. He said, look, I'm bringing my reward with me. You know, I tell you, because, you know, people don't know anything about it. You know, so people just don't care. You know, just think that God just speaking to the air. You know, they don't even think about it. But folks, I want you to think about it today. There is reward. Now, in the book of Revelation, and I don't have time to go into all of this. I may come back and preach some other time to finish this up. On all the various rewards, and the one that especially they call the reward of the overcomer. To him that overcometh, I will do this and I will do that. Throughout the book, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, he goes through it about 7 different times. And he gives all these various rewards and so forth. Of all the things, you know, what is it that you are overcoming? Well, you are going to you need to overcome the shame of carrying your cross. You need to endure your cross. You need to be thinking, having respect of the recompense of the reward. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. You need to deny yourself and so forth. You got to overcome all these things not to get the reward. Amen. But you know, there is great reward. There's also reward for everything we do here. You know, there's little reward here and there. You know, and so forth. In fact, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. That's a reward. You know, the Bible also says, look, that, you know, if you love to stand in the synagogues to pray so that people can see you, say you already have your reward. But if you like to go in your closet, you know, and pray to your father that's in secret, then your father who is in secret will reward you openly. So we see that there is even reward here on earth. It's not just in heaven. There's reward on her. You know, the Bible says, look, if we do these things, you know, he says, do this and you shall have this. Do this and you shall have this. That's reward in itself. You know, praise the Lord. But there is also rewards, you know, that come even after this life. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you know, it's like, oh my, did you bear that cross? Are you able at the end of your time to say, I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. Can you say that at the end? Well, you are not at the end now. So what you need to be able to say is this. Are you fighting the good fight? Are you staying on course? You know, are you keeping the faith? Because Paul said, I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Well, I have not finished my course. Not by any means. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to keep by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Now remember, Paul said the grace of God was mighty in me. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the grace of God that worketh in you to do these things. You know, don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever think that, oh, you know, you can do any of these things. Can't do it all by yourself. Can't do anything by yourself. You know, but the grace of God. And that's why he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So don't frustrate the grace of God. God has put his grace upon the life. And every service, when we close the service, everybody says this, just say it, you know, just recount it and go. But we don't really think about it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We say it all the time. Everybody say, let's say the grace together. We say it all the time. But there is a lot to that grace, folks. It is the grace of God that is going to give you the ability to bear your cross joyfully. Amen? Amen. No matter what situation you are in, you will need to bear your cross. Now, there is reward for everything. You know, Jesus told many parables in the Bible. We don't know what all those rewards are, but through many of the parables that he told, we're able to get some glimpses. He told parables, or, you know, he gave, you know, 5 talents to this, 2 to that, and 1 talent and so forth. You know, the one that had 5, he did some stuff. You know, he worked hard, he made 5 more. You know, the one that got 2, worked hard, he made 2 more. You know, and so forth. You know, but the one that got, you know, just 1, he said, well, you know, it's too little. I can't do anything with this. So he did nothing. So we learn from that parable that there is a reward system, you know, for working with what God gave you. For using the talent that is in your life, there's a reward for it. Because when the master came, they came and gave account of their stewardship. And the one that got 5, you know, and made 5 more, he made 100%, you know. And the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know, and the other one that got 2 and made 2, he also got 100%. Amen? Amen? How many of you know 2 out of 2 and 5 out of 5 are the same? That's right. You know, so he got 100% just like the other one too, you know, and he got exactly the same benediction. Thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But the other one that didn't use his talent because he felt, well, you know, I'm not like that person. Why am I not the preacher? You know, why should I do this little thing in the church? You know, and so forth like that. So therefore, I'm not going to do anything. Well, he buried his talent. He could have been doing whatever it is that God gave to him to do, but because he's not this other person and so forth, didn't have five gifts like the other person, say, well, therefore, I'm not going to do anything. And God said, well, at the end of the day, you have been a wicked servant. Take from him even that which he thought he had. Give it to somebody else. May the Lord have mercy upon us.
Amen.
I don't want to be in that situation, do you? Praise the Lord. Well, let me close by reading to you this thing. I looked it up. Finally, now I found it. And it's very interesting. So let me read it to you. You know, this one says, whose job it is? It's a question. Whose job is it? Now, remember I said sometime in the course of this message that it's just you and the Lord. Never mind about the other person and so forth. So there's a story about four people. Listen to this carefully. There is a story about four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Are you still with me? There are four people. This story that I'm going to read to you is about these four people. The first name of the first of the four people is everybody. The other one is named somebody. The next is named anybody. And the fourth of them is named nobody. So there was an important job that needed to be done. And everybody was asked to do it. Remember, there are four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. So this important job, everybody was asked to do it. Now, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Amen? Now, anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Are you still with me? So somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job, but nobody did it. Now, everybody thought anybody could do it or somebody would do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. Are you still with me, folks? So it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Folks, you know, there is nobody else but you and the Lord. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
You may not understand all of that, but, you know, if you want to read it, you can come to me after church. I'll give it to you to read. You know, it's very funny, you know, because, you know, there is nobody else. It is just you and the Lord. Never mind the other person. God called you alone. And you must carry your cross alone. And when you carry that cross faithfully, there is tremendous reward. And sometimes the cross is not just because somebody is persecuting you because of your faith. That's the point I'm bringing out in this message. Sometimes the cross is because you are choosing to do something that is uncomfortable, but brings glory to Christ. You are getting out of your comfort zone. You're getting up early in the morning to pray. You are missing some few meals to fast and to afflict your soul. That's not persecution, you know. But it brings, these things bring tremendous reward. And you are choosing to stay. The Bible says, whatsoever state you are called, therein abide. Are thou called being the wife of a mean husband? Abide therein and praise the name of the Lord. Carry that cross. Amen. Amen, folks. Are thou called being the husband of a disrespectful wife? You know, therein abide and praise the name of the Lord. But do your own part. Amen. Don't say, because my wife didn't do this, therefore I won't do that. My husband didn't do this, therefore I won't do that. My parent didn't do this, therefore I won't respect them. You know, or my child is this, therefore I won't, you know, support them, and so forth like that. You know, no. You do your part, and there is reward. Praise the Lord. Now, let's stand to our feet, and I will close now. Praise ye the name of the Lord. If you understand that message, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Everyone's cross is different. You cannot bear the cross that Christ bore. Because some people, when they talk about bearing the cross, they are thinking of the cross of Christ. No, that was his cross. You know, you may be called to bear similar, but not identical. You know, it can't be identical. You know, and as much as fingerprints are different, everybody's cross is also different. You know, maybe in a similar situation and so forth like that, but it is your cross to bear and not anyone else's. Nobody can help you to bear that cross. But only the Lord can give you the grace to bear the cross. And the Lord will not remove that cross. Praise ye the name of the Lord. He will not remove the cross, because bearing the cross is what gives you tremendous reward when you bear that cross faithfully. You know, so you must bear that cross. Now, I want us to pray. And if you are here this morning and you say, Lord, I have not denied myself. I've always thought about myself rather than the other person, really, or even the Lord. And if you say, look, I have not carried my cross daily like I should, God, I didn't even understand that this cross was mine to bear. And if the word of God has pricked your heart in this message concerning all the things that we have said, then I want you to say, I need the grace of God. And if that's you here this morning, I want you to come and I'm going to pray with you. If you say, I need the grace of God to be able to carry my cross daily. Not to worry about somebody else. Not to say it's somebody else's job. Or say somebody else will do it. Or anybody could have done it. And then find out that nobody ends up doing it because the Lord was entrusting it into your hands, but you wouldn't do it because it was not comfortable. If you have been at ease, the Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. God has put in your hand stuff that you should do, but you're not doing it because it's not comfortable for the flesh. Then you need the grace of God. You need the grace of God. But I have good news for you folks. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. I have good news. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of hope. This is a message because, look, it works the same way. The faith that you use to believe the Lord for salvation, you must continue to use the same faith to believe the Lord for grace in your life to carry your cross. Amen. Amen. You say, well, can I make it? All these people that did these great things and still they were rejected. Well, yes, you can make it. Amen. And yes, you will make it. Because the grace of God will be upon your life. Amen. Hallelujah. But you must never look into yourself. Don't think, you know. That's why the Bible says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel. Hallelujah. Amen. Thou shalt become a plain. Amen. And the Lord is going to bring forth the headstone thereof. With shoutings, crying grace. Grace unto you. Grace from the Lord is what we need. Throw up your hands, folks, and let's pray. Father, Lord Jesus, lift up your hands, every one of you that are here. Lifting up your hands is also a sign of surrender. Surrender your life to the Lord. Don't try to be your own boss, let alone boss somebody else around. That's not going to work. You know, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will lift you up. As you lift up your hand today, I want you to ask the Lord in your own words for his grace upon your life. Open your mouth and pray unto the Lord. I don't want to hear a silent soul in here this morning. Open your mouth and pray unto the Lord. Ask him for grace in your life, for this work, for you to carry your cross, not somebody else's, for you to be able to deny yourself and to follow the Lord. Whatever situation you find yourself in, that's your cross. You must bear that cross. Unless the Lord chooses to deliver you out of it. And if he doesn't, then that's your cross for you to bear. Father, Lord Jesus, give grace, O God. Grace, grace unto us this morning. Grace, O Lord. Grace, O Lord, to your people this morning to be able to deny ourselves. And the Bible says, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient unto you. For my strength is made perfect for you, even in your weakness. For when you are weak, then you are strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, O Lord, take our weaknesses. We trade our weaknesses for the grace of God. I want you to trade your weaknesses for the grace of God here this morning. The thing or sin in your life that so easily beset you, trade it for the grace of God here this morning. Trade it for the grace of God. Lay it down and pick up the grace of God. Pick up, before you pick up your cross, you must first have the grace of God upon your life. You cannot carry the cross without the mantle of grace. You must be clothed with grace in your life before you can carry your cross. Ask the Lord for that grace. And if there is any prayer in your heart at all, daily, ask the Lord for even a double portion of that grace. And ask the Lord even for a triple portion of that grace to be able to carry your cross with joy, to deny yourself. Father, Lord, I pray for myself also, who I am the spoken voice of this message. Yet this message speaks to me as well. He said, the exhortation that speaketh unto you as to sons. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, folks. Lord, I pray that you give grace upon me as well. Grace upon me to do this work. Grace upon me to carry my cross. And I pray, Lord, grace upon everyone that is here. The ability, the grace of God in our life to deny ourselves. To take up our cross daily. And to follow you. And to keep our eyes on the prize, looking unto Jesus, the beginner and the finisher of our faith. Because he also endured his own cross. He despised the shame. And now he's set into glory. And folks, he said to the disciples in Luke chapter 24 on the way to Emmaus, O ye fools, don't you know that Christ must have suffered all these things in order for him to enter into his glory? We must suffer these things. We must suffer the pain of carrying a cross. No pain, no gain. That's what they say in the world. Father, Lord, yet with you there is gain. Hallelujah. For the things that I may have gained in the flesh, I counted but loss. And all my accolades and all my achievements and so forth, and anything I ever hoped to be, I counted as dung, that I may gain, hallelujah, the excellency of our Lord Jesus Christ. That I may be resurrected with him, the power of his resurrection. That I may also gain Christ in my life. For what profit will it be for us if we gain all these other things and lose our own souls? Father, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I say unto every one of you, through the grace that is given unto me, fear not, for the Lord is with you. Amen. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, amen, for the Lord will help you. Amen. He said, I will help you. Amen. Jay, I will strengthen you. I will give you this grace whereof you are asking today. And I will strengthen you with the right hand of my righteousness. But look unto me only, and be ye saved. Hallelujah. Consider not your own self, but think upon my glory, saith the Lord. And I will be a crown of glory upon you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you. We pray, Lord, even as you are coming with your reward, coming with your recompense. You say, who then is that faithful and good servant, who when the Lord shall come, shall find so doing? He said, I tell you, the Lord himself, he will put a towel around him and will cause that guy to sit down, you know, and enjoy some good service. But if that servant was wicked and began to waste time and waste his talent and do none of this evil, do evil instead of doing the things that the Lord asked him to do, he said, well, the Lord will thrust that wicked servant out of his presence, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Father, O Lord, our portion is to sit with Christ. He said, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and I'm set with my Father in his throne. So let it be for us, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And whatsoever is the hindrance, whatsoever is holding us back, today, Lord, we lay it upon the cross of the Christ. And we pick up the grace at the foot of your cross so that we may carry our own cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And don't you ever think that you are too small. For who has despised the day of small things? These be the eyes of the Lord, saith the Lord. God will do in you and fulfill through you his will and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Only let your life be a praise unto the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. For we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord and everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.